And welcome to Anime Talk. It's Tuesday. It's 11 o'clock Eastern. Let's get this started, guys. So I am joined, as always, by my wonderful co-host, Aeroblip.
Go Blue.
Yeah, he's been yelling and screaming into Skype all evening about this Ohio State, Michigan basketball game that's going on.
It's supposed to be a
rivalry. I don't know. I'm on the West Coast. Big Ten doesn't mean anything to us.
It's like Washington versus Washington State, you know?
That's not even, never mind. We could go into why that's not even a rivalry, but I'm not going to go there. But anyways, yeah, we're back. You can find us on Twitter at JoeAnimated, at AeroBlip. You can send us messages there. We've got the social stream to the right-hand side of the stream, so you can chat with us, talk with us, whatever you want to do there. If you'd like, you could tag your post at, or pound, Anime Talk. We can try to pick it up there. Whatever floats your boat. We love to interact with you guys. Love to take feedback as we go along. So be sure to hit us up. But Aeroblip, we have a lot to talk about despite it being the winter season.
Oh, there's a bunch of news going on right now.
Definitely. So let's get into the first topic. SakuraCon picks up another set of special guests. The director and the executive director of Psycho Pass will be heading to SakuraCon.
Yep, yep.
That's not a bad deal. So that we've got the writer for SAO and Excel World. Now we've got the directing staff from Psycho Pass. It's shaping up to be a pretty decent con.
Yeah.
Despite it being one of the more lower tier cons around.
I mean, it's kind of unusual because I feel like, so, you know how we talked about last week with, I guess, Sword Art Online being part of SakuraCon. I feel like this is a Funimation's like big response to like what Aniplex USA is going on right now.
Definitely.
It's like, you know, if the one guy's got a big punch, you got to get him with the left jab, you know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, definitely. I actually have to go see the con now. I know there's a couple other Anna bloggers that are going to go. SakuraCon's only a few hours away. I've got family in the Seattle area. I might actually have to go and do this. It's be worth
the
money.
Yeah, you probably should.
And the three-day pass is only like $55 right now.
That's standard, I feel like. Because I know at Boston Annie, it's like $50 for the three-day as well, so...
Yeah, I mean, if you buy it, but one day passes if you buy them at the door, I think, are more than that.
Yeah,
like they have some sort of, they nail you at the door. But yeah, so SakuraCon, if you're in the area, there's going to be quite a bit to go and look at. So I would definitely take the time and go look at it. Go visit, see some things. Can't be that packed. I mean, it's Seattle.
Are you going to check out this panel?
I might. It might be worth it. Psycho Pass has been in my top tier of shows of the last two seasons. So that'd be enjoyable to go see.
Yep. And also, in related stories, for those who can't go to Seattle, if you are in Atlanta, you can always go to Anime Week in Atlanta. So there, they got the voice actress Yu Asakawa. So if you guys don't know, Fate/stay Night's writer. Mm-hmm. They also have the Toho project creator Zun. And they also have the voice actor Mitsuo Iwata, which I don't know any of his roles. But then they also got like the standard, you know, American cast with like Vic, Mignogna, and all that good stuff, all that gay jazz.
Yeah, so that'll be cool.
Mm-hmm. And then further south, or I guess south of SakuraCon, if you go to Anime Expo in LA, Mari Okada is actually going to be there.
Which is, she was the writer for AKB-0048, Anohana, okay. Black Butler.
Let's talk about her good shows like Aquarian Evol and, you know, Wandering
Evol.
Sun.
Yep, so she's got quite a bit of decent shows under her belt. I wouldn't say any of those are exactly failures.
Black Rock Shooter.
Well, true. Black Rock
Fractal.
Shooter. Was she Fractal too?
She did Fractal.
Oh, yeah.
True Tears, depending on whose boat you're in.
yeah. Okay, but I mean, that's quite a bit of stuff to have under your belt. At least is recognition worthy. I already jumped ahead.
Go for it.
We're still on the topic. Keep going.
Oh, okay. Well, I was just going to say, like, it seems like this year, like, these cons are actually, you know, getting a lot of big, like, big people out there. I felt like last year, you know, besides AX, like, there wasn't really much going on. Even at Boston Annie, like, there wasn't really anything big there, except for, like, one of the composers for the Idolmaster music, but that's a different story.
Makes me wonder if it's, like, a marketing push to try to create more awareness in the States, you know, get more sales, et cetera, try to reinforce the market.
Well, I mean, don't forget, though, if we go back a few episodes when we talked about the interview with Aniplex USA.
Yes.
The president did say that the market was growing slowly, but it was growing. So this could be just, you know, another way to make sure that they can actually push anime towards more fans.
True. We'll have to see, though, how it turns out. Mm-hmm. I've already jumped ahead in the slides, but the Steins Gate movie comes out in April.
Yep, but that kind of means nothing to us, though.
Not really. And I hear the movie is just basically the episodes compiled into one continuous hour and a half, 2 hour show.
Really? Because I heard it was actually supposed to go beyond the show. I heard that it was sort of like a sequel, so I'm not really sure how to describe it.
Okay.
But like, it's like side story slash sequel, so it kind of picks up where like the anime left off, sort of.
Huh. That's interesting. We'll have to see how that turns out then, because the initial stuff I saw, which was, you know, right after the anime aired, when they first had the news they were going to make a movie, was a little different, mm-hmm. but that's been almost a year now, so a lot has changed probably.
That's true. I mean, who knows? Like, you know, Steins Gate's known for its surprises, so for all we know, this could be something original. This could be like a side route from like the visual novel. Just got to wait and see.
Regardless, it'll be worth watching whenever it comes to the point where we can download or go see it in a theater.
I don't think it actually ever come to theaters, to be honest.
Really?
Well, I mean, I know Steins Gate was big, but I'm trying to remember who produced the show, like, or publisher, sorry.
I
believe Funimation.
Yes, that sounds
so,
right.
So, I'm not sure if Funimation's going to start following Aniplex USA's model, but who knows?
Yeah. Another movie note, Up on Poppy Hill comes out in the end of the month, beginning of next month?
I think it's around that time, yeah.
Yeah. So, another Ghibli film. You know, that partnership with Disney has paid big dividends for them. So, Up on Poppy Hill should be coming out in the next month. I encourage everybody to go see that as well. Should be a great show as well. I've got a non-legitimate copy to watch myself in the near future, so
Jesus.
I think if it's good enough, I may take the kids to go watch it in the theater.
Yeah,
because the few Ghibli films I've showed them have turned out pretty well. They used to have them on Netflix when Disney saw their partnership with Netflix, so we were watching through some of the Ghibli films there.
Wait, so is it subbed or dubbed?
On Netflix it was dubbed.
So when it goes in theaters, it might be dubbed?
It could be dubbed, yep. Well, the Disney stuff usually is dubbed. Not saying it always
that's
is.
That's true. Yeah, I believe Borrowers of Arrietty, that was dubbed, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so
won't be surprised. Disney pulls the money in to get decent actors to do the voices, so
that's true.
It's never disappointing in that regard. Mm-hmm. So, what's up? Oh, last little bit of news. Toonami expands their lineup once again. They are bringing in Soul Eater.
I don't think it's a bold move, but I think it's actually a decent move on Toonami's part. Like, Soul Eater is very popular, and it's been around in the U.S. for quite a while, so it's kind of dropped off, I guess, everyone's radar. So considering how you get a new batch of people on the night block, could probably pick up some new fans. Not to mention, like, I think it's Funimation owns this one as well. So that's probably some support going with Funimation as far as the commercials and whatnot.
Funimation has a pretty good partnership with Toonami, so it plays out that way. I mean, the manga's been in the United States for quite a while, too, so there's quite a bit of penetration to build from. Market penetration.
Yeah, definitely.
I know I'm losing you to the basketball game. What's the score, Aeroblip?
Oh, no, I'm not. It's not that. I was actually had some water stuck in my throat.
Yeah, so if you watched Toonami at night, Soul Eater should be joining the lineup here shortly. If you've never seen Soul Eater, it might be a good chance to catch at least a few episodes. I actually won the first volume of Soul Eater when Tokyopop did a online contest, ribbon call. It's okay. It wasn't really my thing, but I can see how people would be into it.
That's true. I guess, like, my only hesitance towards this is the fact that, you know, I was kind of hoping Toonami would take much bigger steps as far as, like, diversifying their lineup. Because I think for Soul Eater to come on, they're actually dropping Seven Samurai.
Really? Did they finish it already?
I think so.
Okay.
So which means that you still got, like, the Full Metal Alchemist and the Cowboy Bebop reruns going on still, which makes me kind of nervous about, you know, their profit margins.
But Seven Samurai wasn't, my personal opinion on Seven Samurai, it wasn't that great. So substituting out something for it isn't that big a deal, I guess.
That's true. I don't know. I just feel like it's still showing the fact that they can't fill out the entire Toonami block. Because they're still showing these old shows. I mean, I don't know how popular they are, but
you would think
that, again,
because Funimation and Aniplex have a lot of stuff on Netflix. I wonder how easy it is. There's plenty of other things they could choose from and even mix it up, mix in a little non, because there's quite a bit of shonen shows within the Toonami block. I don't know if that matches the demographic. It'd be interesting to find out. But it'd be fun to need to mix in some other stuff, because I know there's other things that are being streamed online that are probably available for licensing or on the TV. It's just a matter of, can it be done?
Yeah. I'm also kind of curious exactly, like, how much does Toonami, like, how much do they know about the anime industry at this point? Because it's starting to make me wonder about, like, exactly what are they, I know they have little money, but it makes me curious as exactly, like, what shows they're trying to pick up. I mean, I figured if anything, like, it seems like they're going for the action, more towards adult-oriented stuff. So I figured, like, I don't know, Kaze no Stigma or something like that would be picked up, like, a while ago.
Yeah.
By the way, best main character. Like,
I'm trying to think. I mean, they could show Aquarion, the original Aquarion on there. That can't be much to license anymore.
Yeah.
But like I said, it's all a matter of their demographic. Who are they trying to reach? If it's mostly the 18 to 25 or even 15 to 25-year-old male, the lineup seems to fit just fine with that. But if they're trying to reach a more diverse audience, maybe ages or genders, they've got some work to do.
Well, actually, you know, the really weird thing is that, so when I went home for the holiday season, I went to my old workplace at the base commissary. And when I was talking to some of the guys who stock in the back, who's, you know, do backroom stocks, like, they were talking about watching stuff on Toonami. And the thing is, like, they're, like, in their late 20s, early 30s. Like, most of them were that age. I guess a couple of them were older. But, you know, it's still, it makes me wonder, like, I don't think the 18 to 25 demographic is actually their target anymore.
It's all much older crew.
Well, if it were the 18 to 25, like, you think that they would understand, you know, how the internet works. So they can always go to free websites like YouTube or Hulu.
That's true.
So, yeah.
And if they're trying to compete with Hulu, Netflix, and YouTube, that's going to be hard-pressed to do, too.
Yeah, I feel like it's a dying network. It's really hard to say.
Yeah. I'm not going to give it much thought. I'm never up at midnight. I don't have cable anymore. Most of my stuff comes Hulu, Netflix, YouTube, or Torrent. So
yeah,
I'll always find.
Let's
what
wait
I
5
watch.
Weeks and see what happens.
Definitely. So February 2nd was a special day, Aeroblip.
It's
affectionately known as Twin Tail Day.
Yeah.
2-2 kind of makes sense. So in Japan, the Japanese men picked their top 10 anime characters with twin tails. So quickly, let's go through the bottom 7 and see what they came up with.
Okay.
So 10 through 4 here. Number 10, Rin from Fate Stay Night.
Mm-hmm.
Number 9, Madoka.
Okay.
From Madoka, if that wasn't obvious. Okay. Number 8, Cure Happy. That's definitely an obvious twin tail there.
Yep.
Number 7, Maui from Baki Monogatari.
Yay.
The Ghost. Number 6 is Nagi from Hayate the Combat Butler.
Mm-hmm.
Number 5 is Kagami from Lucky Star.
Okay.
And number 4, which this kind of surprised me she was this low, but it makes sense once you see the top 3, Azusa from K-On.
I mean, I guess the only one I can really relate to is just number 7, just because I find it hilarious. But I mean, the others, they're just moe. They're moe. I don't get moe.
Yeah.
So,
well, Rin's not terribly moe.
That's true. Well, I mean, the problem is that I really don't know much of the Fate Stay universe or Fate universe in general.
But I'm saying her character design, though, is less moe and more traditional human form. If that makes sense.
Yeah, that's true.
And just the whole K-On thing, I thought with all the lolicons out there, the K-On would have been boosted up at least into the top 3, but it wasn't.
But you got to see that top 3, though.
We got to see that top 3. So the top 3, starting with number 3, Asuka.
Asuka.
Asuka. Well, I'm trying to be dramatic and it didn't work. Sorry. But you can't complain for number 3 like that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, surprising enough is number 2 and number 1. So number 2, we have a Sailor Moon character. I'm going to pronounce this terribly wrong. Chibiusa or Chibusa?
Sure.
Sure. And our grand finale, number 1, Sailor Moon herself.
Yep. I don't know. These.
To be honest, the top 2 kind of surprised me. What's that?
Who did they pull?
Japanese men.
Men. Okay, so I guess.
There are other characters I think as twin tails that would have been better. I don't know why. I have trouble naming some, but having Sailor Moon be in the top 2, Sailor Moon characters in the top 2 seems. When's the last time Sailor Moon actually aired?
Well, in the U.S. wasn't that like in the late 90s?
Yeah, like we're talking 20 years ago here.
Yeah. Oh well. I mean, it's like those 3. Like I wouldn't put them on my top list. I mean, Asuka's nice, but I wouldn't put them on my top list.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was thinking, though, for me, I was thinking that Saya Takagi from High School of the Dead would be a good character.
You like her?
As a twin tail. I mean, I don't do a lot of moe shows, so finding characters that are twin tails is kind of hard for me.
Yeah. I mean, I'm...
And then
I feel bad because I'm just not a fan of the Twin Tails in general. Like, I don't like Twin Tails. I'm more of the Hime cut, if you ask me.
I'm just not. Like I said, I don't watch a lot of the shows that have Twin Tails in them, so finding other characters that are Twin Tail was a bit hard for me. I was thinking, like, most recently you had Tsukete with Asami, but that's about it, man. I don't pay attention to Twin Tails. I know I'm letting Numbers and Dave down, but
I mean, I think Twin Tails are overrated. I'm not a fan of them.
I don't know.
But I don't know. Personally, if I had to change this list, clearly Yayoi from Idolmaster has to be on there.
Yeah, there's not a single Idolmaster character on this, is there?
Because there was only one with Twin Tails. Or one that rocks it well.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, but I don't know. I guess whenever I think of Twin Tails, I usually think of Kotomi Tsuda from Setsukai Yakuin Domo.
Oh yeah, the little short girl.
No, well, no, that's Suzu, actually. Well,
That's
that's
Suzu,
another
yeah.
good one.
Yeah. The
No,
reason you can never
she's
tell she's a Twin Tail is because remember
Suda's
they
younger
only show the
sister.
top of her head.
Yeah, that's true. No, but like, Kotomi, like, Suda's younger sister, the perverted one, just as
Yeah.
bad as the president.
Yeah.
Ring any bells?
Yeah, I know who you're talking about. Yeah. So,
Anyway.
I really, I wasn't overly impressed with this list. It kind of surprised me.
Yeah, let's just, it's a bad taste in my mouth. Let's just move on.
Yeah, move on, move on. So let's talk about, briefly, let's talk about Blu-ray sales, kind of see what's going on.
Yep.
Some things that are making big hits, big splashes. JoJo's Bizarre Adventure.
Coming at number three.
Coming at number three. Now, keep in mind, guys, this stuff comes from Anime News Network and Oricon. Actual numbers may vary, but proportionally speaking, this is kind of where things line out. So,
Yeah.
take it with a grain of salt.
Well, I mean, I feel like this is still pretty important,
Yeah.
Even if these aren't the exact numbers, like, still got the right order of magnitude. That's good
Oh,
enough.
yeah. Oh, yeah. You know what's hitting and what's missing, essentially. Tiger and Bunny. I'm guessing that's a complete compilation. Not too
I
bad
believe
if
it
it's
was a
first
box set or something
box
like
set.
that.
Not too bad. Not too bad. No
So wait, how
surprise.
do you feel about Code Geass taking that number one spot?
It was popular. I've never seen it. Yay for
Wait, you've
it.
never seen the first Code Geass?
I saw. Okay, so it used to be on. Was it Hulu? Maybe it's still on
Toonami?
Hulu. I never watched it on Toonami either. But at one point,
Okay.
it was on Hulu, and I watched the first six or eight episodes. And then I just, for whatever reason, I lost interest and never finished it. But I can see how it's popular. I mean, it
Yeah.
is what it is. I think
That's
that's
true.
a lot of DVDs or Blu-rays in the first week.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess what's even more surprising for me is the fact that Horizon in the Middle of Nowhere actually sold that many. Like, I know it's popular, but yeah. Almost breaking 20,000 in its first week. That's.
Yeah, you get fanboys. Don't tell Fence Dude that Horizon sucks,
I didn't
because
say Horizon sucks.
he'll
I'm just
rip you a
saying
new
I'm
one, man.
surprised it got that
That'll start a
many.
Twitter war you'll never escape from.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. To Love Rue. People love their hentai.
That's true.
So
And
let's
so you
see.
got Little Busters. I apparently, I think one of my colleagues who likes to find flaws said it's a decent series. So, or
I
at
could
least
I there's
one
no
to
way I could give
watch.
that the time of day. So let's go on to the bottom half of this list.
Yeah, this is actually where I think is much more surprising.
Yeah. Magi, pretty average to meh on its first week. But that kind of reflects the impression I get of what people think of that show. People say, yeah, it's good, but it's not great.
Well, I guess the problem is that this I had the same problem too, is that with Magi, like the first like 10 episodes were ridiculously slow, and then it wasn't until the current arc that we're at where like it actually Magi's actually been like really great. Like, I think episode 12 is what changed my opinion on the show.
And I can give you
So,
that because it was pretty slow.
yeah.
Surprisingly, look at the Sword Art Online. In 2 weeks, it's put up 27,000 hits.
It's still going. As opposed to Girls in Panzer, which has been around for over a month and only hit 26,000.
Yeah, but it's more of a niche thing, I would think.
Really?
I don't know.
I mean, I feel like with these numbers, I feel like that's convincing enough argument to maybe that someone should pick up Girls in Panzer and try that in the US.
Potentially.
Yeah.
I'm not terribly surprised that Eureka 7AO sold almost a shit worth amount of them. I mean, that show was
Yeah.
just, by the time Volume 8 came out, that show was garbage.
Jormungand also surprisingly hasn't even broken 3,000 yet,
Yeah.
which kind of sad. I'm really sad for that because that means that White Fox, who knows what their future is going on right now? Because I think that they were banking on Jormungand doing decent.
The original series was wonderful. The second half was pale
I
in
thought the
comparison.
second half was stronger and weaker than the first half, personally.
I thought it ended worse.
Oh well, let's not talk about that ending. The ending was bad.
Yeah.
But what really makes me upset is Sakura, so only getting a 2,600.
Or basically,
considering
the bottom
how
of
that's
the
like, I feel like that's where most of like the good people at JC Staff are working on, and yet it's doing so poorly. Makes me really sad. Really sad.
It is what it is.
It is what it is. So, it's a great show too, which you're not watching, so poo on you. But yeah.
the whole premise didn't appeal to me initially, so I never picked it up.
Yeah, but it's like, you know what you're getting yourself into by picking this one up. Like, you know it's going to be a romantic comedy. You know exactly what the main girl's going to do. But, you know, it's still charming. First of all, it's wonderfully done, like, especially in the animation. Like, it's so vivid and beautiful. Like, the color, the palette, all that stuff works. And it clearly shows that JC Staff is sinking not only their workers, but their money, like, a bulk of all their resources into that show. And the payoffs are not that high.
Yeah, they're going to lose money.
It makes me sad.
Mm. So, Aeroblip, it's that time. It's game time.
Yeah, game night.
Game night. So we're playing Word Up tonight. So we're going to use one word to describe six shows tonight. Or each of us are going to use a single word to describe six different shows. We got three shows from this season, three shows that are returning from last season.
Yep, yep.
So let's start it off. First show, Koturasan. I think I'm first up.
Yeah, you are first.
So my first word is dorama. It's like, it just seems like it's drama without context. I don't know. It seems to be just kind of, for a four coma, it just seems kind of overwhelming.
Like, do you not like the drama? Because you sound like you're not getting into it.
It seems like it's a bit forced at times.
Forced.
Forced drama.
Yeah.
All right. So that's my thought on that. What about you, Aeroblip?
My word would be what?
What?
As in, what the heck is going on in this show? So here's the thing. Besides the fact that, you know, you, Mishwan, go blue, and look at how my letters are blue. the fact is that this show, I'm trying to figure out exactly how the story progresses. It's really weird because, like, so you say you have the, like, I'm finding it, the premise to be hard to, like, take faith in. So, like, you have Katara, like, she has ESP powers. That I can understand. You have this main character who's just really eccentric and that wacky, and that's what makes him, like, a good fit for Katara. I get it. But then the way the plot develops is what I don't get. Like, especially in the last episode, this guy got stabbed, or this guy, what, I guess in the light novel, got stabbed. So he gets his ass kicked because of some girl that he was supposedly friends with, and he just kind of shrugs it off. Like, I feel like, yes, with all that, you know, crawling in my skin, with all that emo context, I find the plot progression to be the most hard thing to believe in.
It does, like I said, it's just, I said drama because it just doesn't feel like it's, I don't know, it's not coherent enough. I get all the complaints. The first episode, that first 10 minutes was like, wow, they're just going to lay all that out right then and then kind of go from there. So there's some weird contrasts at times. I don't know how the chick that hated her is going to end up fitting into all this. It just kind of, just blahs me out.
But like, the funny thing is that I wasn't really turned off by the drama. Like, what the first episode did I thought was fantastic, and then even later on where, like, you know, characters are conflicted with their feelings, like, even though the show may, like, start taking a tone for either the comedy or the sadness, like, it that never turned me off. It's just what happened after it's said and done is, like, it just leaves a bad taste in my mouth.
Gotcha. So moving on to the next show.
Yep
we have Salami-san.
Yep. And my word is mesmerizing.
Mesmerizing.
Like, this show, okay.
All right, sorry, I'll stop laughing.
No, we're going to butt heads, and I'm okay with it. Like, okay, this show, like, every single episode comes on, and a lot of stuff happens, and it's really overwhelming, and I like it such that I can just take a back seat and just enjoy the ride, and then just watch how just this jumbled mess unfolds. And then you're left with something, I guess, like, the way it goes full circle in it. And it just makes me feel happy. And then that way I can actually go back and rewatch it and I can start picking up on the little hints. Like, okay, spoilers. Okay. Episode 4 of Salami-san. Damn it, now I'm saying it. Episode 4. So the way he had, like, this whole metaphysical dilemma that, like, the main character was going through, like, revealed in the third person. I've actually found it interesting, quite entertaining. But then the last, like, 3 minutes where then there's, like, you have, like, aliens, and then the cult comes back, and then there's, like, the government of, like, the police come in, and it's just this one match, like, just, I don't even know how to describe it. Like, my mind was just blown by the sheer number of just revelations that were going on, and I like it. I like it a lot.
All right. So for me, I kind of went yawn because it just so there are shows that have dialogue where the dialogue makes sense. The dialogue's enjoyable. The dialogue's part of what makes it happen. You know, makes it enjoyable. Bakemonogatari, Monogatari, lots of dialogue, but you're there to listen to the dialogue. That's what you want.
Mm-hmm.
For example, I think it was episode 2. They went into the explanation of why things are what they are. Right? There's a god inside of her, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, yeah.
But they could have done that so much differently and made things so much more enjoyable. Then rather than just doing a 3-minute info dump. Oh, here it is, blah.
Mm-hmm.
I think episode to episode, I think this is more slice of life kind of nuts than it is kind of linear at times.
I see.
I'm not huge on the whole. It just doesn't seem like it's coherent between episodes. I might be missing something, but...
I don't know. Like,
maybe it's supposed to be incoherent. Maybe you're supposed to kind of be randomized. It just seems like week after week, it's just like, oh, we had these ideas left over from another show. We're going to throw them in here and apply it to this random character we've created. And it's just like, I'm having trouble sticking with this week to week. Other than the beautiful visuals at times, it's just not entertaining. It's like it's a dozer at times.
I can understand that entirely because like this, I feel like this is like a generic like Shinbo work. Like if you were going to look up Shinbo, this is like a case study of like what he does. Where it's like, you know, he presents these amazing visuals, but then the way like it's not so much in the plot progression or in the characterization. It's just how things are unveiled. Not necessarily in how the story develops, but in how things are unveiled. That's the key thing.
True.
And so, like, yeah,
like I said, the whole thing about the gods could have been unveiled a whole lot better, and it just wasn't. It just kind of was just dumped on you.
Well, again, that's true. But I'm also kind of curious exactly what, like, how much of it is Shinbo, and then how much of this is the actual light novel, the source itself.
I got to read the chapter where they unveiled the dialogue, and it was done a little bit different.
Yeah.
But still, I mean, you don't have to... We all know that not everybody adapts a light novel the way the light novel was written.
Mm-hmm, that's definitely
so you could have approached it in a much different way.
So.
But
yeah, I feel like this show is just like... It's like Shinbo just like practicing like different art styles and for like another upcoming work.
Yeah, it seems like it's ideas that didn't make it into a final cut of something else.
Yeah, it's like, oh, hey, I mean, look at these designs or look at these pastel patterns. Let's like practice the trade now and then let's apply it to something big later on.
Yeah.
Because I feel like every single show that kind of did that, like, or that was like small, it's what kind of did. So like Hinamaru Sketch, you know, played around with like the whole patterns and stuff. And then like, what was it like Denpa Ona played around with the sparkles effects and, you know.
All right, so
this show is like pastels.
So moving on to the next show, Vivid Red.
Yay!
There's one word I could use to describe it, but I'll stay away from that word, and I'll just go with fusion. For those of you that were Dragon Ball Z fans, you remember the fusion technique. You know, merge together, become more powerful, defeat the bad guys. First used when they fought Majin Buu. Come on.
Yeah, we get the reference.
Does anybody watch DBZ? Yes. So that was my joke with this. You know, you've got docking, which is basically fusion.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's another word. So, like I said, there's another word I could use to describe this, but I'll leave that aside. There's a reason we chose this picture and not another one.
So you mean ass? Was that the word you were talking about?
All right.
Ass.
Ass.
Okay.
All right, Arrow.
So my word, funny enough, considering I have a sailor mouth, it's not ass. It's what a true anime fan would say, and that's Gatai. That's what a true anime fan would say. And yes, like, it's all about the union. It's all about the friendship. And you know what? That's what actually makes me like this show so much. It's like, you know, you clearly have a group of four girls who are going to come together, become friends, each with their own strengths and weakness, and they're going to go around and they're going to fight bad things, all right? And you have these giant spectacles, and I like that. I don't like the ass. I don't like the ass. I do not like the ass. I hate the fan service. But at the same time, like, this is giving me lyrical Nanoha vibes, where it's like you have like the sort of mecha, sort of magical girl mix-up thing, and it works. Like, it's all about friendship, and you get to punch bad things in the face, and everybody wins.
See, like, if they eliminated all the ass shots, this show would be genuine, decent, magical girl show.
But if they limited all the mascot, or if they limited all that fan service, then it would not sell.
No, it wouldn't sell anything.
Yeah.
You got to have 15-year-old pedo butt shots to make things sell. Come on.
I think they're 14.
14. Sorry, I upgraded him.
Yeah.
Well, but yeah, it's a fun magical girl show minus the fan service.
I mean, it's a great it's a fun show. Like that's the one thing that keeps me entertained. That's the one thing I watch anime for. It's fun, you know? I don't want to learn. I do that all day.
Damn dog. Anyways, Arrow. You can probably hear my that yappy little shit of a dog. All right, next up.
Was it my turn?
Space Bros! So this has been a long-running series. So what's your word to describe it, Arrow?
My word? U-turn.
U-turn. All right.
So here's the thing. I was, for the longest time, a champion of this show. And it gets to the point where if you drag your feet too much, even I can't support you. Like, the classic example before Space Rose is probably Moyashimon. Like, I love that show to death. One of my favorites. Hell, my icon is based off of it. And yet, when Moyashimon Returns came and it dragged its feet through the plot, I couldn't take it. In Space Bros, it had its moments of greatness, and now this was, like, had its moments of weakness, and now it's back to greatness again. Like, mm-hmm. That whole arc with, like, Hibito on the moon, that was fantastic.
Oh, it was suspenseful. This latest arc is awesome.
Thought-provoking. Yeah, it was, like, it was superb. Like, there's, like, this was the drama that we came to see. And, like, this is exactly what we wanted from a space show. It's like, okay, you spent, like, the first 30 episodes, like, essentially working as an advertisement for NASA and for JAXA. Go back to the actual drama. Like, I want to see these characters interact with space. That's perfect.
So, yeah, this goes along with what I was saying, was resurgent. You know, it's finally, these last two episodes were awesome. Last three episodes were absolutely spot on great, you know. You knew he was going to be saved in the end, but they kept you just hanging just on that edge, going, will they actually save him? And, you know, it's been great. It's been absolutely great. So they're picking steam up. It's been awesome. Gotta love it. I don't know how to describe it.
Oh, can we talk about that one scene where, okay, so he's walking around doing a spacewalk, right? That one moment, like, so, like, in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, this is supposed to be sugar-coated, right? So he's clearly going to be saved at the last second. But then, like, when he's doing his solo walk, and before he even finds, like, the whole astronaut statue, by the way, spoilers, like, he has that one moment of contemplation where it's like, I should just go back in the ravine and die peacefully and just look at the stars. And, like, that time, that moment right there, I was literally grabbing my table, just shaking it, just like, what is he going to do? Why the fuck are you doing this? Hibito, no. And, like, you know he's going to live, but it still was convincing enough to, like,
yeah,
make it suspenseful.
They put some genuine suspense there. So, yes, definitely watch Space Bros. If you haven't caught up, I would just skip everything before the last three or four episodes and just watch the current arc. It's great.
Yeah. Like, just pick it up at episode 40.
Yeah, yeah. So the next show, JoJo's Bizarre Adventure. And my one word is just wow. I mean, this show is just, every week it's just something enjoyable to watch. It's fun. It's kooky. The character naming is hilarious. I mean, you got AC/DC. It's just wow. It's a lot of fun to watch week after week. And they kind of refresh things often enough that you don't get bored. So, yeah. Wow. I got nothing else to say, really.
Yep.
That's all it is, just wow. What about you, Arrow?
So, what I'm going to say is that this show is fabulous. Like, this show is just, God. Like, I don't know what David Productions does, but, like, they come up with the most kooky and zany ideas, and I love them for it every single time. Level E, Bento, and now they got JoJo. And the way the characters act, and then you have all these 80s references, and then the poses, it just works. Like, even with that opening they have, Bloody Stream, like, it's just so beautiful and so fantastic to watch. Like, just let me just go off on a quick tangent. Like,
okay,
so one of my friends from high school, or college, sorry, like, we got on to be on Skype and we talk every now and then. But if there's one thing that we do, there's two things we do every week. One, we play Spartan Ops. Two, we watch JoJo. And, like, he's not really a big fan of anime. Like, he gets it, but he doesn't really care. I've shown him some good shows, but, like, this is the one show that, like, brings him back every single time. This is like the perfect show for everybody. Whether, like, you're an anime fan or whether you're just a person who just wants to see some, like, flamboyancy and action. Like, this is the show that Adult Swim needs to pick up. This right here. This show is just fucking amazing.
It's a show that fits in with the Adult Swim mantra, definitely. I think it's going to be way too expensive to license.
Really? Is that roundabout really that expensive?
I think they'll change the song. I'm just thinking the show itself would be too expensive to license.
I mean, well, who knows? I mean, you saw those Blu-ray numbers, so it's clearly getting popular. And it's been big in Japan for, like, a long time.
Well, yeah, it's an old manga. It's got, I don't know how many volumes, 10 plus volumes, something like that, 12, 20.
Yeah. I mean, it's also got video games out there as well. And...
yeah, it's the shonen equivalent of Sailor Moon.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting here. So David Productions is like the studio behind it, but the one of the producers is Warner Brothers.
Oh, really?
I don't know.
So is the band who does Roundabout, which I always forget their name.
Why?
Are they under Warner Brothers Music?
I don't know.
That may explain why they can use Roundabout for the show.
That would explain a lot.
Yeah.
Man.
Okay, last show. Oh, yeah, actually, we only had two from last season. So,
oops.
New show, Kurosagi, or I can never say the name. Problem Children Have Come to My World.
Ondaichi.
Ondaichi.
Yeah.
Your one word?
My one word is tease.
Tease?
Tease, yes. So here's the thing. Like, I've said this many times, whether it's this show or Friday Anime Podcast. This show is so wonderful, and it's so fun to watch because it's silly, right? You have three characters who are just so sarcastic and so just assholes. They're just blatant assholes in front of everyone and everything. But you know, they're just fun to watch. And then you have this beautiful world. You got Beam Spam. It's like Dog Days, but mixed with like the delinquent boy attitude.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, like, they have all these good concepts, but they never do anything with it. Like, so you clearly know that like Iyoazi, or I can't pronounce his name correctly, like blonde haired guy. Like, yes. You clearly know that he's super powerful, but you never actually see him fight. And then you know that Kurosaki is supposed to be super powerful as well. But the one moment she actually had to fight, where you know she didn't, because Iyoazi stopped her. Like, there's just so much that the show can deliver on, but it's not doing it. But it makes it seem like it will eventually. It's like, oh yeah, these two characters are gonna fight eventually. Just gotta wait.
Yeah. It, sadly, it's only 10 episodes long.
Yeah,
we may never actually get into the meat of anything at this rate.
Yeah, I know. But so, it's great.
My one word was just comical. I think there's a lot of comedy mixed in with things. I think it's just kind of fun to watch. I'm not swayed either way about it, but I'll keep watching because my daughter thinks the blue-haired bunny girl is hilarious.
She is.
She wants to watch the bunny girl show, so I'll stick with it for the season. I don't know.
What's going on?
No, I was going to say, what are you going to say?
Oh, nothing. I was just saying, like, yeah, you're only watching it because of the bunny girl.
I'm not watching it because of the bunny girl. She is. She thinks the bunny girl is hilarious.
I see.
I don't know what's with her and rabbits, though, because she liked Usagi Drop, too. And she used to call it the bunny drop show. So something with bunnies and anime, I don't know. Goes over well with little girls.
You should watch Dog Days, then.
Some point, maybe. I might get stuck with that.
Yeah.
So we're into final thoughts, Arrow.
Yeah, this show's, wow, it's already been 45 minutes.
It has, we've been cruising through.
Wow.
So, some final thoughts. What did you think of the AKB idol in training, understudy, whatever she was, who got her head shaved?
What? what happened?
Okay, so here's what happened, that I understand it. Apparently this trainee, whatever she was caught by her peers or somebody on a date.
Okay.
And as her punishment, they shaved her head, made her record her apology, and posted it to YouTube.
Wow.
Recorded video of her and then posted it to YouTube.
Wow.
Like, she was full head shaved. Like, she had shorter hair than I did.
Wow, that's... And I know that feel because I just shaved my head today. Wow, that's... Damn. That's hardcore.
Yeah.
You see, okay, here's the thing, though. This is exactly why I don't care about the idol industry. You know, 3DPD, you got these bullies out there who are just, you know, a girl's, you know, she's just trying to get her groove back. She's just strutting her with stuff, you know, doing her thing. And yet these haters are just going to be like, oh, you have to stay pure. And so, you know, they shave her head. That's silly. That's nonsensical. This is why I go with Idol Master, because it's fake.
The whole purity thing was a bit odd, but whatever.
I mean, this Their pop culture is completely different than ours. That's all I can say.
Oh, we have it just as a side note here. Somebody looked up. Roundabout was released by Atlantic Records, which is a child company of Warner Brothers or Warner Music.
Oh, nice.
So that's probably why. There's probably some link into that.
That would explain. Oh.
So
yeah, that would make sense.
In other news, for those people who like their Arrow manga, Nozoki Ana is getting an OVA. For those of you who read Nozoki Ana, and I'm talking about you, 2DT.
Does Tudichi watch us?
He reads the manga, I know for sure.
I mean, does he watch us?
I don't know if he watches us, but this is my plug to say, hey. So if you're into The characters are all 18 plus. If you're into a more Ero side of manga and you want to read something interesting, Nozoki Ana is definitely interesting. It's actually, the manga is going to complete here soon, and with the last volume is when the OVA comes out.
Cool.
Yeah. Now, did you put this one in here too as well, Ero, about top Japanese films of 2012?
I thought that was you. You want to read it?
So, let me find it here again. The list was interesting. There was a lot of American films on there. You know, I don't have it up handy. I apologize. But if you guys want, go to Anime News Network. They've got the list of top Japanese films in the box office for 2012. Take a look. See what you think. I wasn't... there were some things in there where I thought were pretty normal. Nothing stood out to me as being, oh, wow. The typical shonen stuff always seems to make it in the list.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, here we go.
I mean, the number one is Bravehearts.
Oh, so Therme Rome, number two.
Yeah.
The live action. So that was kind of cool.
Surprisingly.
Huh?
Oh, go on. I was about to say, surprisingly, number four was Evangelion.
That's what I was going
to
say. It was up in the top five.
Yeah.
Pokemon the movie, Detective Conan, Kabutsu-kun.
Detective Conan's number nine?
Yeah. The Rurouni Kenshin movie was up there.
That's the live-action one, right?
I believe so, yes.
Yeah.
K-On! The movie.
Came in at number 19.
Number 19, despite it being released at the end of 2011.
Yeah. And then you have the Space Brothers, the live-action one. That came in at 24th.
Yeah. So, some good stuff in there.
Mm-hmm.
Precure All-Stars, number 39.
Ah, that's bull. Who cares? Precure sucks. I'm only saying that just because Kibo is my boss.
And then the One Piece. Somebody's asking about the One Piece movie. To be honest,
I don't think it's up here.
I don't think it's up here. That came out in 2013. Didn't it just come out? Or did it come out at the end of 2012?
I thought it came out like, you know, early January.
Yeah, so it was probably not even on this list. So no One Piece.
Sorry. Oh, well.
So,
oh yeah, this is,
we've talked about Anime Weekend in Atlanta. You can go see some voice actors. Remember, Anime Expo has Mari Okada this year, so check that out.
Yeah, I'm more or less waiting for the performances, to be honest. Like, you know, I mean, they had Calafina a couple of years ago. They had Lisa last year.
Lisa's going to be at SakuraCon.
Yeah, but it's Lisa, though.
I'm just saying. So that's about it, man. So thank you, everybody, for watching. You can find this show and others at the site, animeaudiolog.wordpress.com. You can follow Anime Audiolog on Twitter. All of our podcasts, well, our two major podcasts at least, are on iTunes, both this show and our sister show in On the Clock, starring Kevo and Akira. Definitely you guys should check that out. They had their latest episode a week ago. Always a lot of fun. And this one, Akira talks about his Comiket experience. So I definitely check that out if you guys are interested in how Comiket goes from a first-hand perspective. You can find these videos not only at Ustream, but on YouTube. Actually, I've only started keeping them on Ustream recently. You can find many of the past shows on YouTube as well. And if you're interested in being a special guest, maybe in a podcast post or on the show, send me an email and we'll try to get you engaged. We've got some cool podcast posts coming up in the near future. We're also starting a new monthly, couple new monthly podcasts that should be coming out to help round out our offerings. Ero, I think you're working on a show as well.
Yeah, that still in works.
Still in works. But definitely, guys, we're always trying out some new stuff. So come check us out. And that's about it.
Actually, there's two things I want to talk about.
Go for it.
One, are we still doing that challenge or contest?
Oh, so in the near future, yes, we will be having a special contest. So be sure to check out. I think I'm going to post it this weekend or maybe early next week.
Mm-hmm.
So be sure to come by Anime Idolog. We'll actually announce the contest again on Tuesday, but we're having a special contest where you can win a prize. It'll be a lot of fun, so come check it out.
Fun fact, it will involve money.
The prize?
Yep, the prize.
True. Well,
yep, not there will be money involved.
Not direct cash, per se, but...
You can have rubies if you want it. I mean...
Yeah, we'll pay you in pesos.
Nice.
20 pesos, which is like worth a dime. But anyways, So stay tuned for that announcement. It'll be a lot of fun. It'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
What was your second thing?
Oh, and another thing is that you do realize that next Tuesday, it's a couple days before Valentine's Day, right?
Yes, I know.
Should we have a special Valentine's Day show?
We could.
So, I mean, whoever's out there who's interested in shipping or some good, you know some good rom-coms, Why don't you give us a talk?
We'll do a special shipping and rom-com episode. If you're interested in being a part of shipping or rom-com and think you can compete with the infamous Crazy Dave or Numbers, let us know.
Their ships are terrible.
Oh, you're about ready to start a fight, man.
No. To be fair, though, Executive Otaku has, like, the most worst ships ever. Yeah. Cool. Simply because he picks Mao and Kimikiss. That's the one thing I cannot forgive him for. So, Executive Otaku, if you hear me, I still don't like Mao. I'm a hater. I'm still going to hate. I hate you. All right. I'm done. I'm fresh out of stuff.
All right, man. So, like I said, guys, there's all kinds of places you can hit us up. Come find us. Let's have some fun. Be sure to comment on the blog about posts, whatever you want. Hey, we're pretty open. We're pretty fun at this stuff. But thank you for joining us tonight. Until next week, see ya.
Peace.